Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
What was it like during the civil rights movement compared to this time period?
Freedoms were openly limited, African-American freedoms compared to Caucasian freedoms were very openly limited because there was segregation of everything. And you didn't cross those boundaries.
Okay.
And it was just understood as a child growing up that that was the way life was. There was no hatred or any of that nature. But as I began to get older, then that's when my eyes sort of more or less came open to the differences. And those are things, hatred is something that has to be taught at home. No one is born hating anyone. That is something that is taught at home.
Okay.
So, therefore, when there are children in school, especially during the younger ages, and they are taught, don't play with this person, don't touch that person, because of the color of their skin, that is being taught at home.
Okay.
And it continues to grow up in that child unless different things are taught to him, or he just decides to experiment on his own. But if all a person has going for them, and the only thing they're proud of is the color on their hand, that doesn't say a whole lot about that person. They don't have a whole lot going on. If that's your only heritage, and the only thing that you can say, look in the mirror and say, I am proud to be me because it's simply the color, then you're a very small-minded human being.
Okay. So how has racism and discrimination affected your life and your family's life?
Well, it has, as I say, impacted me to teach my children their civil rights, and I've homeschooled my youngest son, and one of his classes that I taught him was African-American history. Not only the civil rights movement, but all the inventions that African-Americans have given to this country, because those are things that he will never learn in public school, are those things. Yes, I'm proud of Dr. Martin Luther King, and yes, I'm proud of Miss Rosa Parks, because they gave us our civil liberties. When I say gave them to us, they were enacted into law because of their fights and their struggles.
So, the area that you live in, is it very racist, in your opinion? Or
is what you call a redneck town. And yes, it is. Some of it is hidden. But I think that is predominantly all over America that racism still exists. And until the hearts of man is changed, it will continue to exist. And by that, I mean, it is how you see a person. And we're talking about racism as far as African Americans and Caucasian people. But hatred in itself, in order for it to be erased, it really is, it really does not matter how many laws are on the book. You cannot legislate a law on the hearts of man, because man has to see me. I have to see him as a human being. And until that takes place, nothing will change. By that I mean it will continue to be hidden, but then it will rise every now and then. It will rise in the court system daily. It will rise on the job daily. You may not hear about it on the national news, but it goes on. And again, I say, the hearts of man has to be changed. And the only one can do that is man and God. Not me. I can change mine, but that's as far as it goes. And that's all I'm obligated to do is mine. In other words, I'm going to be me and do me. And if someone likes or doesn't like it, then that's not my problem. And another thing I would like to say is how a person views me or sees me as a human being, that really does not bother me. Whenever you act upon that, then that's when the problem comes in. And I say that because that is how I have coped. In other words, I don't let what other people think deter who I am.
Okay.
I hope I've answered your question. And
yes.
As far as...
So are there any incidents in particular that you would like to talk about concerning racism?
No, not really. No, there have been a couple, but not really singling any of them out, because it has happened to others too, but it was handled very well. And I'm sure it will not be the end of it.
Do you think the area you live in is more racist than other areas?
No. It's a small area, which makes it seem to be more prevalent. But I'm 100% sure in the larger cities, it's just as prevalent. It just depends on what area you're in at that particular time. Because there's no such thing as a perfect town or perfect city or perfect state, because there are no perfect people. But if everybody would simply, as I say, do me, be yourself, look out for your well-being, and view everyone else as wanting the same as you, which is liberty and pursuit to happiness, then this would be a wonderful world. But of course, in reality, it is not that way.
So you have a civil rights leader in your family, and your dad and mother left a state or town or a city to because there was a fear of being hung.
Yes, this was 1960.
1960. That was 53 years ago. So, what was it like for your grandparents once they moved? Was it any better?
My grandparents
your mother,
did not
Not
move.
Your grandparents. Your mother and dad, was it any better for them once they moved, even though it was that time period?
Well, it was better in a way that they were not in fear of losing their life. It was like a new start for them. It was still hard treasury work. But that is how I ended up here. And this is why I am still here. Most of my children are grown, except one, and the majority of them have migrated away from here because there's not very much livelihood here. I won't say there's not livelihood. There is livelihood here, but it's limited. Not everyone desires to teach or be a cashier, a farmer, or a prison official. So if you have dreams of doing things other than that, ambitions, then you have to leave this area, which is the same, I'm sure, in all small towns. It's more or less country living. And if that's what you desire, this is the place you need to be. Sounds like Green Acres, do I not?
All right. So you came on the show to talk about discrimination and racism. What do you feel about the young man killed down south by George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin?
Well, I feel terribly for the young man as well as his parents. But, you know, people don't seem to get it. I've heard people say, I just don't understand how someone can do another human being that way. And I take, for instance, this man who had those three young women captive for all those years. People do these things because they don't see you as a human being. And when someone does not see you as being human, it makes it easy for them to do that. Again, I say, the hearts of man has to be changed by himself and God. That is his responsibility.
So what you're basically saying is that, because we are talking about racism and discrimination between whites and blacks, that
I prefer to say Caucasian and African American, but
Caucasian,
I understand what you're saying.
Caucasian and African American. That Caucasians who do these things and who are racist like they are don't see black people, African Americans, as human beings?
Exactly. I mean, that's basically it. And you talk about the young man, Trayvon, and it's not a black and white thing. It's just not seeing a person as a human being, whether it be the man who had those three young women captive those years,
Castro.
Or whether it's or whether it's Caucasian and African American. And people don't seem to get it. You know, they, as I said, they wonder, how can you do that to another human being? If they saw you as a human being, they would not do that. They don't see you as that. And that's something only that person can change.
All right. So is there anything else you would like to say?
I'd like to thank you about
the criminal justice system. How do you feel about it?
It's a criminal system. There's no justice in it, but it is a criminal system.
Do you think they are using black people, African Americans, to make money?
Of course it's a money thing. That system is the new slavery.
Yes, it is. It very much is. So if, let's say...
But we, as an American society, we all have to pinch ourselves and slap ourselves because we all played a part in allowing it to get this way. From the 80s up until now, African Americans also need to take responsibility for the way the criminal system has gotten, because we allowed legislation to be passed and things to swoop by us while we buried our heads in the sand.
All right. Well, the show is about to end. I'm running out of time. I apologize, listeners, for being late coming on the air. I know we didn't have a lot of time. I apologize again to the listeners. Thank you, Ms. Betsy, for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I really appreciate having you. And I look forward to having you back. Perhaps we could do a better interview with the time starting correctly.
Thank you so much for having me, and you have a blessed week. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.